Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, in the car. Did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ plus community, just like you? So you may not be aware, but times are really tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. So tell your siblings, your workmates, heck, even wind down your window and tell someone else stuck in the traffic to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture, Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
And you are listening to Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9 with Tass and Macca.
Thank you, Tass. Our next guest is the leader, federal leader of the Greens, also the member for Melbourne. Sorry to keep you waiting, Adam. Adam Bandt, good morning.
Yeah, lovely. Thanks for having me on.
Cool. Look, first off, I want to congratulate the Victorian Greens. You've won a majority of the seats on Yarra Council. And also, I don't know whether
you've heard, very first Greens-controlled council in Australia.
There you go. And also, your candidate for Lord Mayor, Apsara, did incredibly well running second in the vote, and we really enjoyed our interview with her on air. So there you go. There's a couple of free kicks to start.
Look, thanks for saying that. We feel really excited about the council campaigns that we've run. I think local council is one of those areas that it's where people actually probably have their most interaction with government, whether you sort of feel it or not, like all of those day-to-day services, plus also the things that your local council is fighting for really impact on a lot of people's lives. And it's, many people feel it's the area of government that they can most easily have an influence over and control. So we're really thrilled that we will have elected between 30 and 36 councillors across the state when all the final results come in. The result in Melbourne was terrific, with Rohan Leppard and Olivia Ball getting re-elected on council to work with the Lord Mayor, and congratulations to Sally Capp. But yes, Apsara, as you said, ran a fantastic campaign, and the principle of our campaign in Melbourne City Council was to support the smaller hospitality and retail venues, the smaller ones, to get back on their feet by lifting the rates on the likes of Crown Casinos and reducing the rates on the others who are doing it tough at the moment. And so there's a number of things that we're going to continue to push in at the Melbourne level. But Yarra, having 5 out of 9 elected, and I'm really, every Greens candidate who stood got elected. And one of the things I'm pretty excited about is that we've also got a public housing tenant, Anna Mohammed from public housing in Fitzroy, and I think she's probably the first African Australian.
That's great.
Member of council as well. So we've got a really good team getting elected,
and a couple of queer councillors as well. So yes, we've been, of course, monitoring that, being a queer radio station. So we're very proud of that as a whole. Adam, one of the questions that I'd like to ask you is the Greens movement still? I'm not really familiar with the spread and distribution of the 36 councillors that have been elected across Victoria, but is it predominantly an inner city movement, or is it something that's occurring out in rural regions as well?
It's both, and it's we're increasing. One of the good things about the results that we've had is that we're increasing the spread of councillors that we've got, and in some of the regional areas we actually topped the ticket. And I think there's a growing sense that the campaign that we ran on is basically that we're facing a number of crises. We've got a climate crisis, we've got an inequality crisis in this country, and we've got a jobs crisis. And in a lot of those, a lot of the regional areas, they feel the jobs crisis particularly acutely, especially for young people. And so the our push to have to tackle all of those crises through a Green New Deal resonated in regional and inner city areas. And if you look around the country, in New South Wales, for example, where we've got 3 lower house MPs, one of those is in a regional area where sort of they've got the I guess you might call them tree changes. So a lot
of that's Byron Bay, isn't it?
Yeah, and
it doesn't count as a rural area though.
But it extends into a lot of farming territory. And what happened there was that there was a big campaign around coal seam gas, fracking, and a lot of the, it's one of those things that brought together the, I guess, the more traditional Greens voters that you might expect, but also farmers and rural communities. And I think that's something that we're seeing increasing across the country as well.
Can I just ask, Adam, obviously the US election is something that's holding us all a bit transfixed. You know, that finishing line is tantalisingly close. One of the things that Joe Biden has been talking about and his running mate Kamala Harris is a Green New Deal. How do you feel about that?
We've been promoting it here as well, and it's a global movement that's gaining a lot of traction. And the European Union put forward their Green Deal as well. The South Korean government has just said they're going to get to net zero emissions with their own Green Deal. And the basic premise is this: we're facing a number of crises, and what you need is a government-led solution that tackles them all. So, if you go to the doctor and the doctor says you've got three things wrong with you, and I can give you a medicine that fixes one, or a medicine that fixes all three, you take the medicine that fixes all three. And so, it's talking about getting out of the coronavirus crisis that we're in by government investments that also make society more equal and tackle the climate crisis. So, things like investing in renewables instead of supporting coal and gas, but also things like building more public housing so that you tackle the homelessness crisis and you get people into work as well. They're all components of the Green New Deal, and it's gaining a lot of global traction.
One of my concerns about the federal government's budget is that I'm failing to see where the nation-building projects might be, where the reinvigorated infrastructure might be, where the investment in education or aged care or health might be. And I just see, a $1 trillion deficit that we're all going to have to carry, a debt that we're all going to have to carry into the future, about probably for the rest of my life. And I'm struggling to see what we're going to get for it, really.
Yeah, look, spot on. And if you look at the Green New Deal, takes its terminology in part from the New Deal, which was the US government's response to the depression that they found themselves in just almost 100 years ago. And the response was, well, we're going to borrow and go into debt, but we're going to use it to fund things that are going to deliver lasting legacies for the country. So they created their National Park Service and a lot of transport networks and the like, and there was a big cultural and artistic resurgence as well. And whereas that's the approach behind the Green New Deal, is that you spend your way out of the recession that we're in by doing things that are going to grow and deliver lasting benefits for
the
country.
That's exactly right.
But the government's approach is kind of the opposite. It's to take lots of money, give it to big corporations, and hope that some of it trickles down in the form of jobs, in the form of lasting benefit. Yeah, and it hasn't worked for 30 or 40 years, right? And so there's no reason to suspect that it's going to work now. And so, yes, there's further debt, but it's going to things like giving, millionaires and the likes of Clive Palmer a tax cut instead, and hoping that somehow stimulates the economy, whereas the direct investment to build those projects, like here, we could have a big public housing build, we could get to 100% renewable energy, we could have high-speed rail down the East Coast, all of those things would deliver massive, massive lasting benefits for the country and tackle the crises we're facing.
Adam, I have a question here from one of our listeners who wants to know about your relationship with the ALP. And I suppose it's been something that's actually been in my mind as well. Where's that at, and have you worked out how to work together and really build a stronger alliance around the left side of politics?
Well, in the ACT, as part of the Green Wave that really is sweeping the results in Queensland and the Victorian Council elections, in the ACT, the Greens in Parliament went from 2 to 6. And what happened there was that the Greens and Labor have just signed a government agreement for the ACT, and we've now got 3 Greens ministers, and Labor has the chief ministry, and as well as the other ministry, so they're the equivalent of the Premier. And it's been really productive for the ACT in Canberra. They've got to 100% renewable energy, and now they're on the way, as part of this agreement they've just signed, they're going to build more public housing. And it's a really cooperative and good working relationship, and I think gives a lot of direction, a bit of a pointer about where to go in the future. And, of course, when I was first elected back in 2010, we found ourselves in that shared power arrangement. And from my perspective, I feel like we worked quite well and got a lot of things done.
Then of course, that was under Gillard, wasn't it?
That's right. And then along came Tony Abbott and Rupert Murdoch and kind of tore it all down and told everyone, oh, it's all terrible, we've got to tear it down. And then people saw what Tony Abbott meant and they tore him down as well. And so, but I think, and then of course, go over the ditch to New Zealand, and I've been talking to my Greens colleagues there, where they've continued a form of cooperative government with Jacinda Ardern over there as well. And I feel very strongly that going to the next election, my priority is to the government out that we've got, and then get Greens into balance of power, and then have a similarly cooperative arrangement to try and implement the elements of a Green New Deal. So that's where I'd like to see us go.
Okay. Does Albanese and his team know those?
Have you told them?
Yes, and look, you've got to remember, Albanese was the leader of the House back in the Gillard days, and so we sat down and worked together every week. We'd sit down and work it out, and never lost legislation, never lost a vote on the floor of Parliament, and it was a cooperative arrangement that saw things get done. Did each of us get exactly what we wanted? No, but we managed to find a lot of ways of meeting in the middle. And I think there's the prospect of that happening again. I do think there are some in Labor that don't want that to happen. And they're very, very vocal, and they're clear on pulling the party towards coal and so on. But I think the prospect is there to repeat what is happening in the ACT and in New Zealand, again, at the federal level.
Look, I think the idiot from Hunter, Joel Fitzgibbon, you know, he's always going to be hard to work with on these issues. Don't worry about it. I wouldn't.
Well, yeah, the question is how much influence do they have? And at the moment, like we've got, coming back to the point you said about what have we got to show for it? The government is saying let's have a gas-led recovery instead of investment in renewables. Yeah. So they're actually, the federal government is saying let's take public money that could be going to renewables or schools or hospitals or public housing and instead give it to big gas corporations and like to make the climate crisis worse. And then you've got the likes of Joel Fitzgibbon popping their head up and saying, yep, I 100% agree. And in fact, it was our idea first. And the thing is, he's not some backbencher. He's their official resources spokesperson.
I know. So I think Adam,
the official line, it's kind of hard to ignore.
Of course. I think it's right that you're taking some of your reference points from what's happening across the ditch in New Zealand.
Yes.
There's no question that, you know, the whole world is looking at what's going on in New Zealand. All of a sudden we have decency, kindness, inclusion as being the core principles that actually drive the politic rather than the divisive crap that we've seen in the US.
A great concept.
Adam, great speaking with you this morning. Unfortunately, we've run out of time. Thank you for making up time this morning, and we look forward to regularly speaking with you again.
Thanks for having us on, and all the best.
Yeah, you too. Congratulations again on Yarra and the work that your team has been doing.
Yeah.
Good on you. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Cheers.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.